So as you can see on the screen, our title for today's talk is Deck the Halls with Peace. And if you watched our online service last week, David Newlove, who's the Methodist minister in our mission community, began by focusing on the theme of Deck the Halls with Hope. Now, 1 year before Christmas, there was a DJ in Washington, D.C., who thought that it would be a rather nice idea if he phoned around the local, the ambassadors of different countries in Washington, D.C., to ask them what they would like for Christmas. So he phoned various ambassadors, and he came to phoning the British ambassador. And the British ambassador suddenly thought that this very simple question, what would you like for Christmas, could be fraught with difficulties. He could appear ostentatious in his response, or even worse, he feared that maybe he could sound like he was open to bribery. So he gave what he thought would be a very straightforward answer. Anyway, Christmas morning came around and the DJ was on the radio, and he introduced a little segment and said, well, I've been phoning the different ambassadors in Washington to ask them what would they like for Christmas this year. And he said, we called the French ambassador, and he said that his Christmas wish was for peace and goodwill for all. We phoned the Chinese ambassador, and he said he wants to see an end to hunger and disease throughout the world. And then we phoned the British ambassador, who said that he would like some aftershave and a pair of slippers. So my question for you is, what do you want for Christmas 2020? Maybe some of you want the new COVID vaccine. I suspect all of us would like to be able to meet with our family and friends without having to worry about all these restrictions that we're currently living under. When we have families come to us who are interested in having their children baptized, one of the things that we use with them is something called the Start Course, which is an introduction, basically, to the Christian faith. And in the first session when we meet with them, we ask them to rank in order of preference what they consider to be the most important life goals. And you can see those on the screen. So they have to choose what is the most important thing to them. Good relationships, steady job, the right car, nice house, personal health, inner peace, happy children, true joy, enjoyable hobbies, lasting friendships, life after death, fantastic holidays, plenty of money, or something else. Now I wonder, from that list on there, and of course it's not exhaustive, what you would choose as your number one. Now I've done this Start Course many, many times with different people, and very often, in fact probably always, I put inner peace as my number one thing. And I suspect that I'm probably not alone in wanting inner peace. In fact, many people are searching for inner peace. I just did a very quick Google search a few days ago, and I just typed into Google how to achieve inner peace. And within less than 1 second, it brought up 194 million results. I thought I wouldn't go through them all because I'll be well into my late 80s by the time I've done all that. But if you Google that, you will find all sorts of responses. So here are some of the main ones. So focus your attention on the things that you can control. Spend time in nature. Be true to yourself. Watch what you eat. Take regular exercise. Do good deeds, and so forth. Now, some of this advice is really good, sensible advice. There is also a lot of advice to give which maybe isn't quite so good. But does that really, do those things, as good as they may be, really bring us true inner peace? I would say that actually, I think the answer is no. They may be good things, but they ultimately won't bring us the deep inner peace that each one of us is ultimately searching for. Because no matter how hard you work to find inner peace, eventually, inevitably, something is going to break through. Something that we cannot control, something that we cannot anticipate, something that shatters that peace. And 2020 has shown us just how real that can be. Because ultimately, true inner peace can only ever be discovered in the one who is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And that's what I want to explore this morning. And we're going to be looking at that reading from Isaiah 26. Now, because of COVID rules and so forth, we've had to put the Bibles to one side. But if you do have a Bible on your phone or with you, then you might want to take that out. But we're going to be looking at Isaiah 26. See, as we journey through this life, we will all face obstacles that disrupt our sense of inner peace. And these obstacles come in many different forms: doubt, worry, or fears, sometimes physical obstacles, health concerns, sometimes financial obstacles, and lots of people have faced those this year. Issues to resolve, people, or just things that we need to deal with that come along the way, many of which will be beyond our control. So I wonder for you today, what might be the thing that is disrupting your sense of peace? What is the obstacle that you have been having to wrestle with? In the book of Job, Job declares this. He says, "I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, only turmoil." I wonder if you have ever felt like Job felt. Maybe that's how you feel right now, today. If you do, then there is some good news, because it doesn't have to be that way. The Bible clearly states for us that God's will for us is not emotional turmoil or fear or anxiety. God's will for each one of us is peace. The psalmist writes this: "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." And in our reading from Isaiah, Isaiah declares, "You establish peace for us." So God offers us a roadmap to peace, and there are four things I want to mention briefly. First of all, God prepares a way for us that leads to peace. God prepares a way for us that leads to peace. Verse 7 from our reading: "The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth." So what does that actually mean? Well, life isn't simple or straightforward. Challenges and obstacles, as I've already mentioned, are inevitable. But Isaiah says that when you put your trust and faith in God, when you obey him, truly obey him, when you walk faithfully with him, then he will make your paths smooth. That doesn't mean that the troubles and obstacles that you are facing magically disappear. You still have to face them, but God will guide you through them. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 put it this way: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." And there are two key words in that passage from Proverbs: trust and submit. When we trust God, when we truly submit to him, then he will make our paths straight. And it's certainly been the lesson that I've learned over the years, that when I really do put my trust in God, when I lean on him and not on my understanding, when I rely on God rather than on myself, then God does guide me through the difficulties and the challenges that I face. And I'm sure many of us would be able to say that is also our experience as well. Even when times are tough, even when times are difficult, even when we feel overwhelmed, when we trust and obey God and remember who God is and that he is faithful and just, then he will see us through those times. So God prepares a way for us that leads to peace. Secondly, God journeys with us. Not only does he prepare a road that leads to peace, he travels along that road with us. Isaiah 43. "Now this is what the Lord says: Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. So the promise there isn't that God says you won't have to face these difficulties. The promise is that I am there with you right in the midst of them, and they will not overwhelm you. I will be with you always. Or as it says in the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And it's knowing that God is with us that I would say ultimately gives us that sense of peace. Whatever I may face, you may face, no matter how hard it may be, and it can be incredibly hard, we know we do not face these challenges alone. And sometimes when I'm going through difficulties, it's not always easy to sense God's presence. But when I look back and see how God has seen me through those tough times, I recognize that God was there. And again, I suspect many of us realize that that's true as well. In the present moment, sometimes you wonder where God is, but it's when he's led you through, you look back and you suddenly recognize that he was there all along, guiding and leading and walking with you. In verse 8 of Isaiah 26, it talks about the Lord's renown. So through remembering how God had helped the people of Israel in the past, leading them from slavery in Egypt, guiding them through the wilderness, the people of Israel have a sense of peace that although they're facing challenges at the time Isaiah was writing, they know that God will ultimately give them peace. And the same is true for us. Again, think about those difficult circumstances you've had to face in your past. And hopefully you can recognize, looking back, that God was there. God was helping you. And because of that, we can look forward to the future, even though it feels very uncertain, knowing that we can trust God. So God journeys with us. Thirdly, I think we can find peace in the waiting. Sometimes when people or circumstances seem to be against us, it's hard to believe that we will ever experience true peace. And we see that actually in the reading from Isaiah, verses 10 and 11. It expresses the people of Israel's anger that their enemies seem to be prospering. And they're effectively saying to God, God, why is this happening? But because they know that God loves them, and because they know he is faithful, they know he will bring them to peace. And we see that the Israelites practiced a posture of actively waiting and seeking the Lord. Verses 8 and 9 says this, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In this morning, my spirit longs for you. And we are in this season of Advent, and as Nina mentioned at the beginning of the service, this is a season of expectant waiting when we fix our eyes on Jesus, not only to celebrate his birth at Christmas, but particularly as we think about the day when Jesus will return in power and glory. And I've heard many people saying that there's a real sense of anticipation that maybe Christ's return isn't as far off as maybe we think it is. This season of Advent calls us to wait expectantly and hopefully in Jesus, the one who was sent to give us peace. And it is possible to find peace in the waiting. It's a little bit like a gardener sowing a seed in the soil, in the ground. The gardener knows that even though that seed is hidden from sight, even though they cannot see it, they know that that seed will be slowly beginning to germinate, that there is life there, there is hope there, even though they cannot see it just yet. And even though at times it may feel as though God is not always answering our prayers, we know that God is always at work. His Holy Spirit is always moving. So we can find peace in the waiting as we wait in trust and faith in Jesus. And fourthly, and finally, we can find peace in Jesus. Because true inner peace ultimately can only be found in Jesus. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the message they brought was one of peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John chapter 14, he says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus is the only one who can offer us true peace, a peace that the world cannot give. And that word that we translate as peace in Hebrew is the word shalom. And shalom is such an incredibly rich word that it's actually quite difficult to really give full sense to what shalom means. It means wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, and prosperity. And I was listening to one New Testament scholar who said that the nearest English equivalent to the word shalom would be flourishing. Shalom is flourishing. So shalom is that condition in which everyone and everything flourishes and is in a right relationship all the time, when it becomes what God truly intended it, us, to become. This is the condition that existed before the fall with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when there was complete peace and unity and flourishing in the world. And that's why Christ came into the world, to restore that, to restore the whole world. Not just to save us from eternal death, but to restore the whole created order so that it may flourish. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. He is the one who said, "I have come so that you may have life and have it in its fullness." Jesus is the one who helps us to truly flourish. He is the one who restores our relationship to our Heavenly Father. He is the one who restores our relationship to one another. He is the one that can give us that true peace of heart, mind, and soul. Only Christ can give us the peace that we so desperately long for. A peace that comes from knowing that no matter what we face, God is with us. God loves us. God cares for us. And God will watch over us. So to finish, we see that God prepares a way for us that leads to peace. That God journeys with us along that way. That we can discover peace in the waiting. And that true peace, the peace that the world longs for, can ultimately only be found in Jesus. So just to finish, a couple of questions for you to think about. What are the obstacles that you might be facing right now? What are the things that might be robbing you of your sense of inner peace? And what I want to invite you to do is bring them to Jesus, because he is the one ultimately who can deal with them. And in these days of Advent, what practical steps can you take to find peace by focusing on Christ, who is the giver of peace? Let's pray.